Amen. Matthew chapter number 9. We're going to begin at verse number 1. The Bible said, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose, departed to his house. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Praise God. Amen. I got just a few notes here today, but something popped up in my Bible reading this week, and I just want to bring it to your attention here today. Amen. And I want to preach to you just for a little while this morning about what brings you out. Amen. What brings you out? What do you come for? Why are we here? Amen. I want the Lord to help us here today. God of heaven, we love you and we need you this morning. Pray that the power of the Spirit would be in this place and the anointing. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Praise God. It always takes some kind of attraction to get people to come out and to view. You're going to have to advertise it, promote it, announce it. And the bigger that you promote it, announce it, and advertise it, the more that you can expect to see to come out, no matter what it is. Here in Augusta, they have the car show and they don't have to promote it that much because they know that most of us already know what's going to be out there, and we'll go out there and walk up and down hot streets and stuff to view them and such. But there's other things that are out there that nobody knows about and you've got to promote. John the Baptist was and can be a type of that, in that when he first began to speak and began to do the things that he did, people began to flock to see him. And they began to come to see what he was going to do next, or even what he was going to say next. And being the religious zealots that they were intrigued by his means, and that he was preaching a message of repentance and even baptism, and a baptism unto repentance. And they came to him, flocking unto him to be baptized. And he looked at them and spoke unto them, and he said, Who hath warned you of the wrath of God to come? He told them to go and to bring forth fruit meet unto repentance before that they were to be baptized. And he had such a following, and we know that he was, there he was when Jesus appeared, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And so after that he had baptized Jesus and was walking away, the disciples that followed after John the Baptist, the Bible teaches us that they followed after Jesus. They went and followed after him. And we know that John the Baptist would be thrown into jail. Jesus would begin to take up the work and begin to do things, but in his ministry, he began to perform many, many miracles. And to the place that John would send note unto his disciples and would have them to ask Jesus, are you the one that should come or shall we look for another? And the Lord would say, well, just go tell John the things which you do see and hear. Go tell him how that the lepers are being cleansed and the lame are walking, the deaf are hearing and these things. Tell him all about these things and that to all that the gospel is being preached. And that was sufficient enough. The people thronged around Jesus. Jesus looked at them and he said, what have you come out to see? He said, did you come to see a reed shaken in the wind? And he began to speak to them about the things, and he told them about a prophet. And he said, much more than a prophet is here. And he spoke concerning even John. But he went on. But the people were mesmerized, and the people flocked unto Jesus because of the things that they did. John, because of the message that he was preaching unto repentance and then the form of baptism that he was doing, and they saw it as new and fresh, but many of them he would offend. And then Jesus, with all of the miracles that he began to perform and that he done, calls the people to flock unto him. People, the testimony got out, people talking about it, and more and more and more came, even to the place that sometimes the Lord would have to separate himself or hide himself and go to a place so that he would be able to rest. In the book of Matthew chapter number 8, we're not going to read any specific verses there, but just through Matthew chapter number 8, you will see so many numerous miracles that happen. We would start off and say that there was a man that came to Jesus, and he was his servant was sick of the palsy, grievously tormented, and he told the Lord, he said, you know, I've come so that you would heal him. And the Lord said, well, I can. He said, let's go to that place and let's go and I will heal him. And the centurion said, well, hold on. He said, I understand that I'm a man. I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only and thy servant shall be healed. He said, I am a man under authority and I understand it. And if I say go, men go. And if I say come, they come. And if I say do this, they do that, and whatever it is. Jesus marveled and he said, I have not seen so much faith or found so much faith in all of Israel. And so he simply spoke the word, and Jesus's or the man's servant, the centurion's servant, was healed at that moment. Praise God. From there, Jesus went down into the city, and he came to Peter's mother-in-law's house and found her, and she was sick with a fever, and he healed her, and she got up and she ministered unto them. They left from there and went and got on the ship and went over unto Gadara. And while he was traveling across the river or across the sea there, the winds rose up and the disciples were afraid that they were going to sink, and they cried out unto the Lord that was asleep, do you not care that we perish? And he said, save us. He looked at them and he said, why are you so fearful? And he stood up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, the winds and the waves just settled right down. And the disciples marveled that Jesus had been able to do that. And they said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? When they got to the Gadarenes, there, of course, would be the man that was a demoniac, and he would come out and come running unto Jesus and fall at his feet. And he would heal him and cast the devils out of him, and the man was found clothed and in his right mind. And the miracles of Jesus never ceased to amaze people, even though that the people of Gadara did not want Jesus. Jesus went on about his business healing people. We can talk about the woman that had an issue of blood. The Bible said that when she heard that Jesus was come, that she got out and she pressed her way through, and she made contact with Jesus. She was doing everything that she possibly could to make contact with him, more than likely because she felt like it was her last hope, but also that she had heard of everything that Jesus had done. There was the blind man, Bartimaeus, who was sitting by the wayside. But when he heard the commotion and asked what it was, they said Jesus was coming by. And so he began to cry out and say, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. and getting Jesus' attention. He would be brought unto him and Jesus would heal him of his blindness. There were lepers that came unto Jesus. Sometimes there was one leper. Sometimes the scripture told us there were two different lepers. Another time there was 10 lepers that came unto Jesus, and they all came to be healed and to be cleansed. And they pretty much all said the same thing. Master, if you will, you can heal us and you can cleanse us. And Jesus said, I will, and be thou cleansed. And he healed them, and they were made whole. And so in our text, and we could talk about all the other things that Jesus did. We could talk about the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 7,000. We could talk about all the Bible talks about the multitudes that came unto Jesus, and he healed them all. And the Bible even speaks in the end of the book of John, said that everything that Jesus done can't even be written down in a book, because the libraries would not be able to contain all the miracles that he had performed. And so we see this throng of crowd, this multitude of people that came unto him. And this text today in the book of Matthew chapter number 9, it's also found in the book of Mark, and that I know of, it may be in another one as well, but that's where I typically preach from. There is in Mark, but here in the book of Matthew, we come to the man that has the palsy, and we're back in Jesus's town in Capernaum, and so he is there in the house, and he is preaching and teaching all of the people that are there, and the man with the palsy is brought by his friends, and finding no way to get into the house, that they would climb up on the house and they would tear the roof off and lower him in. And when they would lower him in unto Jesus, Jesus would look at the man and would say unto the man, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And it was at that point in time that this crowd that was so pro-Jesus began to step back and began to think, what have we got here? And they said, whoa, wait a second. Certain of the scribes said, this man blasphemeth. They said, there's no man that is able to forgive sins. And Jesus would either hear them or perceive their thoughts, and he would answer them accordingly. And he said, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk, but so that you know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins. He looked at the man with the palsy and said, arise, take up your bed and walk, or go into thine house. But it was at that moment, it was when Jesus began to speak words concerning the gospel, concerning what we would become acquainted with, the gospel of Jesus Christ and stuff, that people began to have a problem with that. As long as he was just the God of miracles, as long as he was the God of provisions, as long as he had authority over distance, and that he could tell the centurion man and say, from a distance, your daughter or your servant is healed. As long as he had authority over the here and the now, that he could reach out and he could touch. As long as he had dominion and authority over spirits that would come to him, and he would say, come out of him and be clean. He was good. They liked him. They loved him because of his miracles and because of the things that he did. But friend, when he began to get close to the heart situation, that's when they began to have a problem with him. As long as he was speaking good and providing loaves and fishes for them so that they could eat, they had no problem with him. But when he began to talk to them about sins, and when he began to tell them that their sins was the most important thing, and he was basically insinuating here and giving them a lesson, and say, when he looked at this man and said, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven you. He was letting him know that it was more important for that man to have his sins forgiven than for him to ever get up, walk, and be whole. I think sometimes that we get on to this, and I'm not accusing this church here, but I'm just saying in humanity that we get into this thing that I want to know what you can do for me. I want to know how you can help me. I want to know how you can benefit me. And you know, if they're broke, then if you can spare them a few bucks, they'll be glad to say, God bless you. Oh, yeah. Amen, amen, amen. If they need food and you can buy them a meal at Wendy's or somewhere like that, amen, they'll be sure to smile at you and extend a handshake and say, may the Lord bless you. And they carry their signs out there, and they have their little pots and jugs and such, and they want you to put some alms into that, like the man that was at the Gate of Beautiful, as he just cried out, alms, alms, alms. He was basically saying, this is what I perceive that I need, and I'm asking you to help suffice that. And so they'll stand out and they'll panhandle and they'll want some food, or they'll want some coins and some dollars and such, and as long as you can put into their coffers, amen, they'll say, Lord bless you, and they'll go on. But when you begin to talk about sin, when you begin to talk to them about a better way, when you begin to talk to them about coming out from where they are, amen, so that it's not just a quick fix or just a band-aid upon the problem, amen, that's when they begin to step back and begin to get defensive, and they'll say, oh, I've already got religion, or I tried religion once and it doesn't work, or they begin to accuse all of you holier than thous and such like that. But Jesus is letting us know that it's more important that your sins be forgiven than you ever receive a miracle. I want you to know that if you've received a miracle of Jesus Christ, you've got a reason to rejoice. You've got a reason to be thankful. You've got a reason to praise Him. You've got a reason to be excited. You've got a reason, amen, to be, amen, super ecstatic about it. But if your sins have been forgiven, and if they've been washed away in the waters of baptistry, and if your name has ever been put on the roll, and God has filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen, the cure of cancer is not greater than that. Cure of leprosy is not greater than that. There is nothing in the world. You may have been born lame and never have walked and had the hand of God extended to you so that you can walk now. But your sins being forgiven of you is a greater miracle than all of these other things in the world. Praise God, praise God. Paul had an issue. Paul had an issue. And he prayed for healing concerning his issue. He prayed 3 times that he could get a miracle. And he didn't get a miracle. As a matter of fact, he kind of got the opposite of what he thought he was going to get. He was hoping that the Lord was going to heal him of whatever infirmity that he had. But the Lord just simply responded unto him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. Praise God. Praise God. I do not read where Paul, amen, threw in the towel. Amen. Where Paul threw his hands up and said, well, never mind. I'll just go my way and do my thing. Amen. But the Bible teaches us that he just kept on preaching, kept on teaching, kept on winning people and reaching people unto the Lord today. Amen. If God never touches or heals our bodies, amen, the fact that he saved my soul means that I owe him everything. I don't have to go to hell. Amen. Because he save my soul. I could be healed and be able to hear and be able to see if I was blind or deaf. But if I did not have my sins remitted, I would go to hell. Amen. Being able to see, being able to hear. But thank God that he chose what was best for me and forgave me of my sins. And now I'm on my way to heaven. Praise God. Amen. Jesus even said it would be better for you to go to hell with one hand than having both hands enter into hell, having one eye be saved rather than having both eyes being saved. Amen. Praise God. It is the greatest miracle of all. Amen. Is what Jesus did for you at Calvary. What Jesus did for you at an altar of repentance, no matter what your story is, but the day that you came into the church and you came to the front and you began to pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins, what happened at that moment supersedes everything that you have ever experienced in life. Praise God. I don't care if the winner of the jackpot lotto, had won $3 billion. If he comes in and prays through, the greatest miracle that he's ever received is that his sins were forgiven. Praise God. Praise God. And so we take a look at this, and I want to point something out. When God is your God because of what he does and has done outside of salvation, when God is your God because of that, the relationship doesn't last very long. Let me give you an example. 10 lepers came unto Jesus. 10 lepers came because they had a need. All 10 came unto Jesus, stood before him, said, "Lord, you can heal us." And he said, "I will." And he healed all 10. And he told them, "Go show yourself unto the priest and do the things which Moses has required." All 10 of them left. One came back and said, "Thanks." The Bible said that that one was made whole. Was made whole. 9 of them didn't experience a full miracle. Now, what am I talking about? Leprosy is a debilitating disease to where the cartilage and all of that and begins to rot away and stuff. And so we don't know the full extent of their leprosy, but it could have been that their ears had already rotted off, their nose, fingers, they began to lose the fingers and toes and stuff. And they're scarred bad with different, it's sickening, but pus pockets and all kinds of things like that. And Jesus could heal them and they could still walk away with no fingers, still walk away with no ears, no nose, whatever. But they would be healed. They would not have the contamination of the disease any longer. One came back to Jesus and said, "I need to thank you for this." And he thanked the Lord. The Bible said that he was made whole. Luke chapter number 2 talks about the leper that was in. The Bible said that he was full of leprosy, which means it had progressed to such a point that he did have fingers and different pieces of his body missing because they had deteriorated and just rotted off. And the Bible said that Jesus made him whole, which everybody believes that they all of a sudden had new fingers, new nose, new lips, new ears, new everything. They were made whole. They were made complete in this. One came back unto Jesus. I just simply tell it to you like this, that it's too easy to forget about Jesus once you don't have a need. Ten lepers had a need. And therefore, 10 lepers got out of their comfort zone and went and found Jesus and approached him when they really shouldn't be approaching anybody. Nobody should be approaching them. It's highly, highly contagious. But they had a need. And so they got out and they pressed out of their zone, confronted Jesus. "Lord, if you will, you can." He said, "I will." And he touched them and healed them. 9 of them forgot about it. 9 of them forgot about it. They got their miracle. What do I need Jesus for now? What's the need now? 9 of them went on about their life. 9 of them went to show themselves to the priest, got themselves pronounced clean, missing fingers, digits, whatever it is, they went on about life because they don't have a need anymore. 1, having his need met, came back to Jesus and said, "I just want to say thank you." And the Lord told him, if you would allow me to kind of extend this a little bit, but the Lord told him, said, "You don't even realize the power that I have. and that you still have needs that you feel like are unmeetable. You're missing fingers. You're missing this. You're missing that. You know that you're healed. That white, scaly skin is gone. And you know that you're healed. But you don't even realize that I could heal you wholly. And that you could have your fingers, your nose, your lips, whatever it is. You could have all of that back. 9 perceive that our need had been met. We don't have need of Jesus anymore. Let's just go on about our business. I'm just telling you here today, you may feel like you've got everything together. You may feel like God has touched you to a place and that there's nothing more that's left for you. You may feel like you're at the top of the rung of the ladder as far as high as you can go, maybe in your company or maybe wherever it is, but you feel like you've topped out and you don't have the degree necessary to go high, or you don't have the this to go higher and stuff like that. And so, you know, back when we were just bumming and slumming, we were, oh God, you got to stretch this penny. I got to make it into a dollar. God, you gotta bless this. You gotta do this. And I mean, we were budgeting tight and we were praying that God would meet the needs of the bills and stuff. And all of a sudden, job offer come and this happened and talking to somebody and they're like, hey, do you know so-and-so's hiring? Whatever. No. Yeah, they need this. I thought of you. And so all of a sudden you go and you get blessed and you get money and stuff and God blesses us. And today here we all are, all of us. We're all sitting here because the blessings of God. God has been so good to all of us. But sometimes we get to this place, it's like, well, you know, I kind of topped out. I got it. You know, when I was on the bottom, I could see up, you know, and I could see stuff. But now that I'm up here and stuff, now that God's paying the bills and I don't have to worry about a whole lot of things, I just kind of made it to the top and stuff. And the Lord is saying, you don't even perceive that I can do more for you than what has already been done. You see that one leper didn't come back because he's like, you mind give me some fingers? He didn't even perceive it. He just simply came back to say thanks. And because that he was thankful, the Lord said, you don't perceive it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. And he opened a door that this one previous former leper did not even see. And now he is made whole. He is completely whole. It's too easy to forget Jesus once he has officially blessed you and helped you. Once he has officially pulled you out of the area that you came to him because maybe your sins were overwhelming you and you came to Jesus and he forgave you of your sins and filled you with the Holy Ghost and kind of settled your life out a little bit. Now you've got a little bit of footage and of some foundation to stand upon, and God's been good to you, but you don't have to seek him like you used to seek him. Don't have to depend on him like you used to depend on him, because the need has already been met. I just want to tell you this morning that there is a God, amen, that knows everything, the things that you and I don't even know. And God is saying, look, if you'll just stick with me, if you'll just stay here, if you'll just seek me, I'm going to open up doors that you don't even know about. I'm going to provide things that you aren't even aware of. I'm going to help you with things that you didn't even know you needed help for. I'm going to give you qualities that you didn't even know you needed, amen, to be able to succeed. Praise God. I just simply want to know this morning, what brings you out? Are you still looking for a little bit of loaves and fishes? Are you still looking, amen, for a healing here and there? Or you come unto him because he is the one that forgave you of all of your sins and he washed your sins away? Are you still here because he saved your soul from hell? Or are you still looking for a handout here and a handout there? Oh, I'm thankful that God's a God of handouts and that God will bless, and he can bless exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. But beyond all of that, he knows everything and he's able to help me beyond what I can see. I'm here today because I love him. I said, I'm here today because I love him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Could have walked away a long time ago. But miracles isn't what got me in the house of God. His forgiveness is what got me here. Healing isn't what got me a relationship with God. Salvation was what brought me a relationship with God. That's why I'm still here. Praise God. Amen. All of those multitudes, they followed and they thronged Jesus until it got to Calvary. And then they wanted no part of it. And one of the reasons they wanted no part of it was because of what he was beginning to teach. All of a sudden, he began to minister to needs that were spiritual rather than physical. I wonder how many people have spiritual needs they don't even know about. But the Word of God is able to discern the thoughts and the intent of the heart. And the Word of God speaks to the spiritual side of a man. And in order to fix the spiritual side of a man, I'm going to kind of think out loud here, so I may retract a little bit. Because I understand that all power is given unto God and that he can do all things. But fixing the spiritual side of a man is a little bit more intense than fixing the leprosy of a man. It's really nothing for Jesus to add some fingers back to your hand and put some ears on your head and stuff like that. But fixing your heart, that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Fixing your heart where you've got two natures, a spiritual nature and a carnal nature, fighting and warring against each other. And as long as you live, that carnal nature is going to continue to fight. It's a work. It's a work. And you can come to the altar and you can be forgiven and you can be filled with the Spirit of God. And God can change your life, but you can't allow that to be your last experience. Because that old carnal nature rises up and wants to go back to the life that he lived in. That old carnal nature wants to return back into there. And you have good intentions. Like, well, you know what? I'm just not going to go as far as I did. Or I'm not going to do as much as I did. And I'm not going to. It never works out that way. Never works out that way. But you see, the way that Jesus had to fix that spiritual condition of man was he had to get pretty plain and he had to get pretty blunt. And he had to talk to them. And as he began to open up his mouth and begin to talk to him, they got offended. They weren't offended because that he had healed 10 lepers. They weren't offended because that he had fed 5,000 men plus women and children. They weren't offended that he had healed the man with the palsy. They were offended because he had dealt with sin. They weren't offended because blind Bartimaeus was healed or the woman with an issue of blood was healed. They weren't offended. They rejoiced in that. They were okay with that. But when he began to talk to them about that, from the heart is born adulteries and murders and fornications and lasciviousness and all these other things. When he began to talk to them about that, they praise him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. When he began to deal with things like that, they got real cold and crossed their arms and backed off and said, no, we didn't sign up for this. We don't want to hear this. Well, why don't you go back to healing the lepers and fixing the problems and multiplying bread and loaves? Jesus had already spoke to them and said, sin condition is greater than physical condition. And healing the sin problem, forgiving sins, is a greater miracle than fixing the lepers. And so through love, he began to continue to press and to push. Let's stand this morning. But as he was pressing and pushing, John 6, and I believe it's 66, the Bible said that all of his disciples that was around him, that they all walked away. They were offended at his words. They were offended because he was teaching and preaching. Just go back to doing miracles. Just go back to telling us how we can win friends and influence people. Just go back to telling us good things. And without being offensive, that's a lot of what the charismatic church is based upon. Miracles. You say they see miracles? I think if you got faith in God, you can see miracles. That ought to lead you and bring you into the fullness of truth. But for too many, it's like, no, we had a need. We got our needs sufficed. We're running and going and doing our own lives again. But we don't want to hear the word. We don't want to hear about our sins. We don't want to hear about what we're doing wrong. Just keep us happy. Just do some miracles here and there. And so at Calvary, they all walked away. They had, every one of them more than likely, had seen at least one miracle that Jesus had done. 33 years, 3 years in ministry. They watched him. They thronged him. They followed him. He couldn't get away from them. But at Calvary, they all walked away. They want no part of it. And so the question here this morning is, what brings you out? Why do you come to church? Why do you have the relationship that you do? Why do you have that with God? Why are you who you are? Is it simply because that God paid your taxes, Peter? Gave you money in the fish's mouth that you could pay your bills? Was it because that when you were sick, God healed you? Was it because that when you had a need, that God provided? Or was it because, or is it because, one day he looked at you and said, thy sins be forgiven? And if he does not give you that miracle that you're looking for, will you still serve him? Or is it a place now that you, I don't really have a need. I've got all of my needs met. Maybe it's time that I go looking for something else. I've got all of my needs met. There's nothing else that I'm in need of. So you don't need Jesus as much as you did back then. I come to him today and just tell him, say, God, I need you as much today as I did when I was 14 years old. As a matter of fact, I need you more today than I did back then. I'm closer to the coming of the Lord. I'm closer to the end of my life. I can't afford to mess up. I can't afford to make a wrong decision, to go wrong and stuff. I want my every step to be ordered of the Lord. I want my paths to be directed by him. Somebody said, you need to be more independent. You ought to be able to, strong enough. I don't want to be independent like that. I want to be dependent upon Jesus. Every morning when I wake up, I want to feel and find his hand in my hand as he leads me and guides me through the day. I want to find a place to say, God, I need your grace today again. We made it through yesterday, but we got another big job to tackle today. I need you. Don't leave me. Don't forsake me. Help me. Help me through it all. I need him. I need him. I need him. Is that the same way that it is with you? Praise God. I'm opening up these altars here this morning. You can come.